Thank you, Jesus. Give the Lord some praise. Go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So if you haven't noticed, we've put our Philippians study on the shelf as we go through the holiday season, and we'll pick that up and finish it in the new year. Of course, Thanksgiving, we talked about Psalm 100. We talked about being thankful, and we want to continue to be thankful throughout the year, obviously. And last week we did, we started a three-week study on the single verse, Isaiah 9, verse 6. This wonderful prophecy about the Messiah, this wonderful prophecy about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now keep in mind that Isaiah lived some 700 years before Jesus Christ walked the earth. And Isaiah made several prophecies about the Messiah. Remember Isaiah 53, where it talks about the suffering servant, talks about Christ's crucifixion and his suffering and his payment for our sins. And also in the book of Isaiah, we hear about the virgin will conceive and give birth. And just throughout Isaiah, there's all these wonderful and amazing and exciting prophecies about our Lord and Savior. And if you haven't ever spent any real time in the book of Isaiah, I would encourage all you guys to get into it. It's wonderful. So like I said, 700 years before Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, somewhere around that time, this prophet Isaiah prophesied this right here. So look with me at Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What a beautiful, beautiful prophecy. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we praise you. And it's been a heck of a week. It's been a heck of a year, Lord, but you have been faithful and you will continue to be faithful to us, Lord. And we just ask for your anointing and your strength and your will being done in this service. Thank you, Father God, that nobody's bored out of their mind, Lord. Father God, because we all know what that feels like to be in a church service and just be tired or bored, Lord. But thank you, Father God, that we will be encouraged and refreshed and that we will enjoy this time together. And we love you and praise you. Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I know that sounds a little silly for me to pray about, you know, being bored. Man, I know what it's like, man. I know what it's like to sit out there and the Word of God's being poured out. But you had such a long week and you're a little tired. And you know, I mean, no one likes to sit still and listen to something boring. And I'm not saying that this stuff isn't boring. This stuff is life. This is the Word of God. But sometimes we can be a little bored. And that's one of the things that I want us to enjoy our time together sharing Scripture. Does that make sense? I want it to be a good time, an exciting time. Anyways, moving forward, let's do a little tiny little piece of recap. So last week, well, we hit this part of the verse where it talked about, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Now this obviously talks about the humanity of our Lord and Savior. For to us a child is born. And it talks about the deity of our Lord and Savior. To us a son has been given. So we're talking about the God-man. We're talking about the second man of the Trinity. We're talking about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 100% man and 100% human. That's what we went through last week. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. If you weren't here last week, you can listen to it on the webpage or Spotify or whatever. And it's worth checking out, honestly. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This is where we're at this week, guys. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. That's what we're talking about this week. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. Or we can say it like this, and his dominion shall be upon his shoulder. He is going to rule and reign. Now, this speaks of a future situation right here. Okay. Now, there's a lot of amazing things that go on in this tiny little verse. But as back in the old days, when people would think about this verse, they were so excited about the fact that this Messiah was going to come on the scene and this Messiah was going to fix all the wrongs that had happened to Israel. And don't get me wrong, there will be a time when our Lord and Savior does rule and reign. Does that make sense? That he will sit upon that throne, okay? But see, if I could just read Luke 1 and verse 31, I believe you have it. Yeah, there it is. Now check this out. There will be that time, don't get me wrong, when all wrongs are fixed. And I have to be careful because I always say that backwards. I don't know why, but here we go again. There will be that time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So give the Lord some praise real fast. So the Hebrew people were fully expecting the Messiah to come into town, to raise up an army, to do some sort of miraculous something rather or another and kick the Romans out, okay? And they prayed for this for many, many years. They prayed for it, and they seen God over time. They seen God over and over again. The Hebrews would get into a bad situation where they would get into sin, and they wouldn't turn from that sin. And so God would warn them through a prophet, hey, you guys are going to go into captivity. You guys are going to go into slavery. And then they would go into slavery because they wouldn't repent. And they would plead before God for a Messiah. They would plead before God, God, save us, deliver us. And over again, God delivered them from the Babylonians, from the Philistines. He delivered them over and over again from these earthly kings that were ruling over them that had put them in captivity. One way, shape, or form, God would get them out of this. So here they are being ruled by the Romans, and they expect the same kind of treatment. They expect that God is going to raise up a somebody. God is going to raise up a Messiah, if you will, that is going to set them free and restore the nation of Israel to its glory days, like in the days of Solomon, the days of King David. And if you go and you look at the verse here in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31, we see this is actually what the angel is speaking to Mary about. So it's actually talking about this, Luke 1 and verse 31, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. Obviously, that talks about the humanity of Jesus Christ. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, or Joshua, Jesus, which means God is salvation. Now, like I said last week, that wasn't a super rare name. A lot of Hebrew women would name their sons Jesus or Joshua as a symbol, as something to rally behind or get excited about. God is salvation. God is going to free us. God is hard at work behind the scenes. That Messiah is coming. So, but the angel says, this boy, okay, he is to be called Jesus. That's what his name is to be, which means God is salvation. Verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, talking about his deity. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father, David. Okay, that's another prophecy as well. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Okay, so everybody was expecting that when this Messiah comes on the scene, and everybody was waiting for it and hoping for it, that everything was going to be fixed real fast, like the Romans were going to be kicked out, they're going to be back in their glory days. Well, listen, as you know, and I know, God doesn't always do the things that you expect him to know. Goodness gracious, let me slow down. God doesn't always do things the way we think that he should do them. Does that make sense? Did I say that right? Sometimes we expect God, we think we know exactly what God needs to do. And if you look back on the situation of the birth of Jesus Christ, of the first appearance of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, most people, and I mean most, Brother Dalton, most people missed that the Messiah was on the scene. Most people flat out rejected him. No, he doesn't come in the way that my professor told me he was supposed to come. This cannot be the Messiah. This is not what they taught me in synagogue. So there's something wrong here. This guy cannot be the Messiah. Okay, but moving forward, okay, God doesn't always do the things that you think he should do. Amen? Makes sense? Let's move forward. Let's go to the next slide, church people. I love you folks a whole bunch. So one day God is going to be on the scene. We are going to have this ruling and reigning situation in this future event. And like I said, That's up to God when and how that's going to happen. But just like every other prophecy, it's going to happen. God said it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Does that make sense this morning? It doesn't have to be the way you were taught in Sunday school. It doesn't have to be the way you were taught in seminary. Okay, we don't have to be part of the planning committee because that's in God's hands. You know what I mean? We're here to be obedient. And so God's going to set this thing up, and it's going to be wonderful, and it's going to be awesome. But so we're at the next slide here. And there will be this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful future event, my friends, when God shows all the failed rulers of the world, all the failed governments and past governments of the world, this is how you rule. This is how it is to be done, in absolute perfection. That's what we got to look forward to. And this is what the Israelites were hoping for and looking for. Psalm 2 and verse 7. Even the psalmist, we see where the angel spoke to Mary and said, hey, this is not going to be no ordinary kid. And he is going to sit on David's throne. Okay, so Mary was thrown for a loop. Okay, so Psalm 2 in verse 7, we see where the psalmist even talks about this. Psalm 2, verse 7 through 9. I will tell of the decree the Lord said to me. Psalmist speaks of this in Psalm 2 in verse 7, this government that shall be upon his shoulders, or his rule and reign. I will tell of the decree, the Lord said to me, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, or you shall rule them with a rod of iron. This talks about the Messiah's sovereign rule and complete control. Your heritage and the ends of the earth, your possession, you shall rule them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. This speaks of the Messiah bringing the world into subjection. This is God doing what he has promised in Isaiah, saying the government shall be upon his shoulders when he shows the rest of the world. This is how you do it. Okay, this is how you rule. Okay, now look with me at Luke 24, verse 21. Luke 24 and verse 21. See, everybody, and everybody that was following Jesus when he was in his earthly ministry for these 3+ years, when they signed on with Jesus, they thought that he was marching. Eventually, he was going to march into Rome, march into Jerusalem, march into Jerusalem and kick out the Romans. That's what these guys were hoping for. This is what these guys had signed on for. And so we see, and we could jump all through Scripture and kind of point this thing out, how this prophecy wasn't fully understood or a little misinterpreted by most folks, man, that, okay, this thing's going to happen right now, all right? And they were stoked about it. There was the time with the feeding of the 5,000, when they wanted to take Jesus by force and make him king, and Jesus sent his disciples away on the boat. Like, hey, you guys got to get out of here. I don't want you listening to this rubbish. Get out of here. And Jesus went alone and prayed. Jesus knew what he had to do during his first coming. He knew that he was here to set up his kingdom in our hearts. Amen. Makes sense. Give the Lord some praise, right? Thank you, Jesus. And we see with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the third day, actually. And they're just distraught and heartbroken because, once again, God didn't do what they expected him to do. The Messiah didn't do what they expected the Messiah to do. And they were just devastated. They thought all hope was lost when they saw Jesus Christ nailed to that cross. But that was all part of God's plan. Amen? And this is what the disciples say, those two on the road to Emmaus, Luke 24 and verse 21. But we had thought, man, for sure. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Well, guess what, folks? He is the one to redeem Israel. Amen? And he doesn't have to do it the way that we think it should be done. And so this part of the prophecy specifically has kind of been misunderstood for a long time, man. When is this going to happen? And we see in Acts 1 and verse 6, just jump down with me, Acts 1 and verse 6, this is Jesus' disciples, man, his hardcore group. This would be, Peter, James, and John. These cats right here, when they're together. And so now we're talking about the resurrected Jesus Christ, Nate. We're talking about Jesus Christ that died on that cross, rose from the dead, and the disciples still aren't getting it. It's still not quite clicking with them yet. And so they say this, talking about, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. They're all thinking about something somewhat temporal, man. You know, something that is to come down the road. Acts 1 in verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Is it time now for the government to be on your shoulders? At this time, restore the kingdom of Israel? Verse 7, he said to them, this is what Jesus said. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. So here's the deal. Here's the takeaway for me. When God says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. It might not happen the way I think it should happen, but I'm not God. He knows what he's doing, and he's going to do something far greater and far better than we could ever imagine. But God knows what he's doing. Just like in the fullness and that perfect time when he came that first time and was born in a manger. Okay, God is going to sit on that throne, and he is going to fix what has been broken. Amen. Can I get a witness? Give the Lord some praise. Seriously, give him some praise. So, I don't know if you guys are tracking with me or not, but see, this is something that is going to happen, and this is even something that we are to pray for. Did you guys know that? That God says, hey, I want you guys to be involved in this process a little bit here. You got a part to play in this, Brother Rex. You got a part to play in this, Sister Sandy. Okay, now look, Matthew 6 and verse 10, when we look at the Lord's Prayer, look at the Lord's Prayer, or we can say our template for how we are to pray, okay? Matthew 6 and verse 10. What do we pray? What does this template say? Your kingdom come. You see that? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that pretty? Isn't that perfect? God says, you know what? Sister Joan, you've got a part to play in all this. I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. I'm not a man that I should lie, so I will have this government on my shoulder. I will shoulder this government. I will show the world how this is to be done, and I will rule and reign, and I will be in complete sovereign control. Okay? And he says, you go ahead and pray for it. Pray for it. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's go to the next slide, beloved. So Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And this is our little topic for today. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. So what in the world does that have to do with me right now? You know, okay, I'm supposed to pray for it. We're always supposed to pray. We're supposed to, you know, always pray. And we always pray God's will be done. And we need to live a life of prayer. You know, the Bible says pray without ceasing. And we need to stay in Scripture. We need to go to church, iron sharpens iron. Those are all good things we need to do. But when you say, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, what does that mean to me right now? Is that just something that I get excited about, something that's going to happen a million years from now, or 2 years from now, or 1,000 years from now, or 50 years from now? You know, that's all in the Lord's hands when that's going to take place. Amen. But he wants to rule and reign in your heart right now. He wants to rule and reign in your heart right now. So if you're a Christian, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, okay, now let's break that apart real fast. Your Lord and Savior. You know, well, I'll be honest. When I accepted Christ, that wonderful, precious moment in time up in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, when I was with my father, crazy, rowdy meeting, I had no plans of accepting Christ that day. Actually, the day before, we were in another service at another part of Cape Cod, where my dad was preaching at, and this guy come up to me, and he's real excited about my dad being there preaching and stuff. And he's like, hey, you're Preacher Fred's son and all this. I'm like, yeah, I am. And he's like, so how does it feel to be a Christian? Or something along those lines. And I did not want to lie about something so serious. I did not want to lie or just, you know, just be fake about something like that. And what I was about to say, I knew was going to hurt my father because my father was right there. We had just walked into the church service. But I had to be honest. I had not come to that decision. I believed that God did have a son, and his son died for our sins, but I hadn't asked him to be my Lord and Savior. I was not serious about that, and I wasn't living right, and I wasn't ready to live right. I was not ready to make that decision. That's what I thought. So this young fella says, you know, how does it feel to be a Christian or something like that? And I'm like, I'm not a Christian. I haven't accepted Jesus, something like that. And I know, I can only imagine how that pierced my father's heart, you know. But I wasn't about to lie about that. I mean, I did feel bad about it, but I felt strong enough that I should be honest. So anyways, I don't know what my dad went and did after he got done preaching or right at that moment. But within 24 hours of that moment, I was on the ground at another church on the other side of Cape Cod crying and giving my life to the Lord. I never saw that coming, you know. So I don't really know why I said that, but that's out there. So, you know, whatever, if you don't know Jesus, better accept him, because tomorrow's not promised to anybody. But God does want to rule in our personal little government that we got going on, you know. And I want to drive that home for the remaining part of our time, that he wants to rule and reign in our life, that he wants to shoulder our burdens. He wants to be our boss. Okay, so this is where I think I was going with that. When I accepted Christ, I certainly wanted him to be my Savior. But I don't know how serious I was or how much I understood about him being my Lord. You know, about him ruling and reigning over my life. You know, and that's still a process. That's still something that every single day I got to deny myself. You know, say, God, this is about you. This is about you. This is, I am here to give you glory. I'm here, you know, the good book says, if you love me, you will do the things I command. So if we look at 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, well, let me read Isaiah 9, 6 real fast again. I'm only going to read a portion of the verse. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. So God will set up that kingdom. That is going to happen. That's a done deal, okay? That's a done deal. God gave authority to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve gave it away to Satan. God took it back at the cross. Now, this will come to pass. He will set this kingdom up. That's going to happen. That's not up for discussion. But right now, he wants each and every one of us to be his loyal subjects. He wants to rule and reign in our hearts, and he doesn't want his children to be all stressed out. Man, look at the things that are going on with the people in this congregation, with the serious situations that so many people are going through just in this part of God's family, and just in this part of the body, you know. And there's so much serious stuff going on in our lives. But this is what God says. He says, I love you. I love you. I'm the boss, and I want you to have peace. So look with me at 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. You all know the verse. Casting all your, how much? All of it. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. See, God wants to shoulder these burdens, Brother Nate. God wants to take these burdens that we hold on to because we're the man of the house, or we're the woman of the house, or we got this going on. You know, just the weight of the world can be on us as Christians. The doctor says this, my bank account says this, my boss says this, my kids ain't coming over for Christmas or whatever, you know. God says, give me those burdens. You were never meant to shoulder these things. He says, and the government shall be upon my shoulder. I can carry this load. Whatever's stealing your joy, Sister Denise, whatever's stealing your joy, Brother Bill, whatever we might be going through, God says, you give it to me. Well, how do I do that? Philippians will tell us exactly what to do. Philippians 4 talks about giving our burdens to the Lord through prayer. Through prayer. Give it to God through prayer. Instead of focusing on the impossible, or focusing on what is stealing our joy, or focusing on whatever, God says, you give that burden to me. Every time that pops into your head, you give it to me. You know, when you reach the impossible, when you run into that dead end and you're at the end of your road, you don't know what you can do. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you." That's good. That's wonderful. That's awesome. Emmanuel, God is with us, right? "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God." Don't be discouraged. I'm your God. You serve the one true God, and I'm your dad. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you." That's my favorite part of that verse. "I will help you." Sometimes we feel so alone, man. Like nobody understands really what I'm going through. We have a God in heaven that says, "Let me shoulder that burden for you. Let me take that off of your shoulders where it's not doing you any good, and let me have it, and let me give you peace." Amen. Isn't that pretty? Isn't that nice? "Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." Because you are my concern, because you are God's concern. I hate for, you know, one of my little ones to be stressed out about something, and I see the big picture, you know. I'm like, okay, everything's going to be cool. Settle down. One time we went to Disney World with all the kids. 2015, it was a wonderful, special thing. I almost lost my mind. I did lose my video camera. I never did get that back. But whatever. That's a topic for another sermon. But okay, so what am I talking about? Me and the kids were on the Star Wars ride, man. You know, I like Star Wars. I'm a little nutty when it comes to that. Not crazy nutty like Michael. Michael here. But, man, I was kind of hyped. I was like, okay, all day long, man, we've been doing all this stuff. Star Wars ride, let's do this. We're sitting there, and my daughter, Hannah, was this little girl. Man, she's a little baby, little kid at the time. We're sitting there, and she's like, "Is this going to flip upside down?" I was like, "No, it's not going to flip upside down." And it wasn't like a roller coaster thing. It was like this cabin you get into, and there's hydraulics, and it moves around. You know, that's what all God's people want. It moves around and stuff, but ain't not going to flip you over or nothing. So we're in this fake spaceship. And for the duration of this thing, she's like, "Is it going to flip over? Is it going to flip over?" It's like, "No, dude, calm down. Everything's fine. Walt Disney ain't going to let us get hurt, baby. It's all good." You know, really, I understood the big picture. Now let me go through my Star Wars ride, man. Well, you know, she freaked out the whole time. But I knew everything was going to be cool. Sometimes we freak out about, that is a stupid little thing, but whatever. Sometimes we freak out about stuff, and God's like saying, "Just relax, man. Just relax. I know how this works out. Okay, just relax. Give me your burden." Make sense? That's what we need to do. That's all I'm saying. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Give the Lord some praise. "For to us a child is born, to us a son has been given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Look with me at Matthew 11 and verse 28. And I know that this verse, when we use this verse a lot, we use it for salvation, and it certainly is for that. It certainly is for that. But I want to invite everybody in here that has been holding, that has been shouldering these burdens for years or 2 weeks, whatever. God says, "I want to hold that stuff." God says, "Let me rule and reign in your heart. You cast your cares upon me. Let me shoulder these burdens." So when it says in Matthew 11 and verse 28, "Come to me, all who labor." Have you ever felt like that? You're just spinning your wheels, man, and not getting anywhere. 2 steps forward, 1 step back. "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That's Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. Come to me, I'll give you rest. You give me your burden. You let me rule and reign in your heart. You give me your burdens. I'll take care of it, and I'll give you peace. I will be your help. When you hit that dead wall, dead end, I'll give you what you need. I'll give you the strength, the guidance, the provision you need. Speaking of provision, Psalm 23 and verse 1, everybody knows it. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So we're talking about the government being upon his shoulder. My personal government, my decision making, he's the boss. I'm not the boss anymore. Does that make sense? I'll save myself from a lot of pain, a lot of torment. I just let him rule and reign in my heart. I let him shoulder these burdens. Make sense? So Psalm 23 and verse 1, check it out with me real fast. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So that's the thing. That's the thing. Am I letting him be the Lord of my life? Am I letting him be my shepherd? You know, because there's a lot of benefits that come with letting the Lord be my shepherd. Or I can fight and kick and scream, but remember, he's still my Savior. I can kick and fight and scream, but what is the shepherd going to do then? He's going to bring in that rod of correction. He's going to correct me, because that's what shepherds do, right? My shepherd's going to guide me. He's going to lead me. He's going to provide for me. He's going to bring correction for me. He's going to protect me. That's what a shepherd does. So when he says, give me your burdens, I know that I can rest at night. I can sleep at night knowing my God is going to take care of what's going on in my life. I don't have to worry about it. Make sense? That I can run to him when I'm overwhelmed and tired, and he will give me rest. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't need a single thing. Think about that. Let that sink in for a minute. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Do you feel like that? You feel like that? The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I love it when I'm spending time with God, and I can honestly say, God, I don't lack anything, man. You know, I've never went without a single thing. And if you allow me to go without something, it's for some great reason, some great time of growth and trusting in him. Does that make sense, guys? All right. Psalm 23 and verse 1. So look with me real fast. Let's do this last verse. Isaiah 40 and verse 11. We're talking about the Lord ruling and reigning. Isaiah 40, verse 11. I shared this with a couple folks earlier this week, and it is just a peach of a verse. I love it so much. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. This is one of the most amazing verses in Isaiah. Brother Rick, talking about how God is so good and so trustworthy, and how we can let him rule and reign in our heart. Not just be our Savior, but let him be our Lord. I give my burdens to him. I submit to him. He is the king, okay, and he is my shepherd, so he's not going to ask me to go anywhere where he hasn't already been. Where he is, I am following him. He's the boss. I'm following him. Amen? Makes sense? Now look at this. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. I love that because that's like a blanket statement. That's like, okay, I'm in the family. God is watching over me. God is my provider, my protector, my corrector, so on and so forth. And that goes for all of us that belong to him. Throughout the world, he knows who his babies are. And he's a big God. He's a big God. And he's like, I got this. I know who are mine and who are not. And I know the promises that I've made in my scripture for those that are mine. And so he keeps his word. He watches over every single one of us. But see, not only does he do that worldwide, but this is where it gets really, really pretty, man. And this is where it really, really, really allows me or encourages me to give my burden to God, you know, to lay my burden at his feet, to allow him to shoulder my burden, to allow him to, that I will make the decisions that he wants me to make through his word, because he's also a very intimate God. He tends to all of us. He loves all of us. But just like, you know, the teacher in the classroom that's got 1,000,001 kids, that's a new thing, by the way. No, they got all these kids, and they don't get to, you hear teachers talk about, I'd like to have a smaller classroom, yada, yada, so I can be more intimate and personal with my children and help them learn, so on and so forth. You know what I'm saying? Well, see, God says, yeah, I got this, but I got it all completely under control. And I'm an intimate, personal God, so you can give me your burden. You can allow me to be in control of your life, because you're going to know, the more time you spend with me, you're going to know, man, that I am trustworthy, that I am faithful, that I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. Yes, crazy times are going to happen. Yes, you're going to be blindsided by all kinds of crazy stuff, but I will be with you, and I am trustworthy. When other people come in and out of your life, when people make promises and don't even try and keep them, or people just do their best and can't keep those promises, God says, I'm not going anywhere. I'm right here with you. See, this is what he says. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He will gather the lambs in his arms. Brother Dalton, I think me and you, we just talked about this. It was somebody. I don't know. It was some tall, dark, handsome young man. Some fella. I don't know. Whatever. I can't hold a bunch of sheepies in my arms. I can't hold maybe two or three sheepies, and I'll probably drop them or hurt them or something. But see, God can take time. I say the dumbest thing. God can take time with each one of us, and He wants to. See, He's a very personal God. He says, look, Trav. He says, when you're hurting, He says, I want to pick you up. I want to hold you close, like a mother giving comfort to her child, like a father giving comfort to a child. He said, I'll hold you close. When times are scary, let me hold you close, and I'll hold you next to my heart. You know, I can give you peace. I can give you rest. Just trust in me. Let me take the ball. Give it to me. Put your burdens at my feet. Let me govern over your life. Does that make sense? He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom. And it's so precious. And gently lead those that are with young. So that's a really cool part there too, because we see our situations as very unique. You know, like my life would be so much better maybe if I had the brakes that sister so-and-so had or something like that. You know, or my life would be so much better if this would have happened to me, you know, like all these other people. Well, see, let me just say this. First of all, God, in human form, Jesus Christ, knows what it's like to go through every single temptation possible. He knows what it feels like to be tempted in every single area. He knows what it feels like to be misunderstood, rejected, persecuted, homeless. So God is our advocate. God knows exactly, Jesus Christ knows exactly what you're going through, and He can relate. That's one of the reasons why He had to be 100% human, so He could relate to what we go through. Amen. He completely gets it. But we look at our situations and we're like, well, my situation is a lot worse than everybody else's situation or whatever. You know, we're in this body. I'm going through this physical crisis. I'm going through this financial situation. I'm going through this situation with my old lady, whatever. This is my world and no one else knows what I'm going through. I can't depend on nobody, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Well, God says, whatever your unique situation is, I'm with you, man. I'm not leaving you behind. I'm taking care of everybody, okay? If you're in the family, I'm your shepherd, okay? Now, you let me rule and reign over your life, and they'll keep you out of a lot of unnecessary pain. But you're also going to have a lot of trials and storms and different things that are going to happen anyways. But I'm going to be with you, and I'm going to be that personal, intimate God that holds you close. And if you feel like, well, nobody gets me. I'm here with all these young ones and all the other sheep are doing the fun thing and all that, and I got to babysit all my baby sheep, or I'm with child sheep. I got the baby sheep. Do sheep have a bunch of babies at one time? No, I don't believe they do. I don't know. Somebody Google that junk. I don't know. Maybe one, maybe eight. Do they have a... Somebody Google it, seriously. You're like, I ain't got to Google it. I know, man. I know exactly. Okay, none of that matters, dude. But look. Anyway, what's going on? He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Whatever you're going through, he's not going to leave you behind. So when the Lord says, for to us a child is born, way back in Isaiah, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Yes, that is talking about a time and place when God sets up this wonderful and amazing kingdom. And that is going to happen. Amen. That's a done deal. But for right now, God says, hey, let me rule and reign in your heart. You give me your burdens. You let me be the boss of your life. Let me be your shepherd. Okay, so we're going to continue on with this. Not next week because we got the Stephanie Levins thing, but the week before Christmas. And Father God, I love you and we praise you, Lord. Thank you for just being patient with us, Lord, and instructing us and leading us. Thank you that you will guide and lead us, and you will be the Lord of our lives, and we will be and do what